Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Navajo Talk Radio, brought to you by Calmez Design and Politics on the Navajo Nation. It's purely Navajo. It's Diné, shining the light, blazing the path, standing for you, asking the hard question, bringing facts. It's Navajo Talk Radio. It's Politics on the Navajo Nation and hosted by Calmez.
Tonight, we have a discussion, a race in Arizona. And of all places, it's called Apache County. Very interesting. I was thinking about that. Why is there a location on the Navajo Nation called Apache County? Nothing against the another tribe, but just that that it's called Apache County. So the race is going on over there. I don't know how many of you know, but it is in District 1. And the it's officially called the Apache County Board of Supervisors. And there are three districts. And some of it's covering, but the biggest district is District number 1. And it covers quite a bit of the Navajo Nation. And I don't know how many of you know what's going on in that race, but it's all a Democrat candidate. I called and made arrangement and invited all of the candidates. And the candidates are D.L. Sells, Paul Guy Jr., and Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. And unfortunately, he will not be able to join us due to an family emergency, and he regretfully sends his wishes and is thinking about, and hopefully that we will hold another radio forum like this. Well, actually just a radio discussion is really what we're doing. So I hope that everybody calls in. Last night was a very interesting show. We had Speaker Lorenzo Bates, who joined us, and also Attorney David Jordan. I don't know how many of you have listened to this, but this broadcast is on the internet, and people can access it. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can search for Calmez, and the radio show is called Navajo Talk Radio. And so while we're waiting for the guests to call in, let me just kind of read what the mission statement says on the Apache County Board of Supervisors. Mission or vision and mission statement. It says, we envision a future where residents are healthy and successful and where our communities are safe and vibrant. And we will strive to meet and exceed expectation by engaging people and communities in developing innovative solutions to strategies We will be a diverse learning organization. We will partner with others to enhance the quality of life in Apache County and the region. Our mission is to serve our citizens through efficient allocation of resources and services, develop cooperative working relationships with communities and governments, and encourage residents and visitors to enjoy the diverse cultural heritage and abundant outdoor activities the county has to offer. So let's see, that is the mission statement for Apache County Board of Supervisors. The Apache County Board of Supervisors is the governing body to the county and a number of special districts. Each member represents one of the three supervisory districts, which are divided geographically and by population. The board meets at least every first and third Tuesday of each month. Members of the board are elected to a four-year term and may serve an unlimited number of terms and must be residents of the district they represent. Board members elect a new chairman at their first meeting each year. Well, I don't know what happened there, but ladies and gentlemen, I guess I got disconnected, and here I was talking away to a to nothing. So I apologize. You're listening to Navajo Talk Radio. This is Cal Nez, and I am waiting for my website to come back up so I can access my board. And right now, tonight, we're supposed to be talking about the Apache County Board of Supervisors. And I have invited all of the guests. And unfortunately, Mr. D.L. Sells is not able to join us. So I hope that Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. and Paul Guy Jr. are able to call in. And so while I'm sitting here fiddling with my website, let me see what I can do to hopefully rescue my web. I'm not sure. I've never had this in the show. So well, I'm just having all sorts of issues, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I am not sure why this is happening, but I'm losing internet connection. I'm getting disconnected from my cell phone. So let me see if I can access my website. There we go. There it comes up. I hope that I need to just now log back into my studio and get us going here. So please bear with me. Let me finish this up. But in the meantime, you're listening to Navajo Talk Radio. And tonight, I invited some guests, and I hope some of them are probably waiting for me right now. And so let me, okay, now I'm online, So I will go back to the studio and see who's with me. Boy, I hope my internet doesn't, my cell phone doesn't get dropped again. Okay, I am back on, and hopefully I don't get dropped again. So, again, tonight we're talking about the Apache County Board of Supervisors, and I have invited Paul Guy Jr. and Dr. Joe Shirley Jr., and also have invited D.L. Sells. And D.L. Sells is not able to join us this evening due to a family emergency, like I said earlier. And I appreciate all of you listeners out there. My name is Cal Nez, and you're listening to Navajo Talk Radio. This broadcast is not on the regular radio show, like a regular radio wave, but it is on the internet, and it goes literally all over the world, and people access it and download it and listen to it at a later time. So, the forum is really about the politics on the Navajo Nation and anything that has anything to do with Navajo Nation government or as well as other Native American issues throughout the country. And so people join us from everywhere. They actually download this and listen to it and share information with each other. And so again, tonight the show includes the race that's going on over in Arizona in Apache County. And we have three candidates vying for that, the one position. And I believe that they're all the Democrats. And they are D.L. Sells, Paul Guy Jr., and Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. So let me just kind of review one more time the Apache County Board of Supervisors, what they do, what their responsibilities are in their areas, and as I access their website, and it's there are three districts, and district number one, which is based out of Chinle, Arizona, and that covers quite a bit of the Navajo Nation, and it overlaps with the county. How much of that encompasses the county is going to I'm not sure exactly how big the area is, but it, you know, as far as I know, it's quite big, and they work with the Navajo Nation, and pretty much what some of the public services what they offer with most governmental entities. So I'd like for us to meet all of I really wanted to get all of the candidates on board, but we have I believe there's only two of them. So I see you guys waiting, and we will get right to it. So again, I welcome all of the listeners out there. This is the opportune time for you to call in and find out what their formats and who they are. And I'll work with them, what their platforms are. And so, again, my internet has just... Well, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize, man. I'm just having issues with getting disconnected. So I'll just go ahead and go right to the guest and just get right to the point. And I believe I've got Paul Guy Jr. And as well as Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. Am I correct on that, gentlemen? Can you both hear me? Yate, can you guys hear me?
Uh-oh.
Hello? I think
uh-oh.
Brian.
Oh.
Brian?
Hi. Yes.
Can
hi.
You hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Loud and clear.
And there's another caller on the phone. Can you also hear me? 928-206. Hello? Yeah. Anyway, so, Brian, how's Los Angeles? And I asked Brian to join me, and he's down in Los Angeles to, you know, hopefully give us some insight on the Apache County. I am not sure who the caller is here. So, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good, Cal. The weather's been nice to me over here, and I'm going to be going back to the res this coming weekend just to visit some family and come back and get back to work again. But it's very interesting that you bring up this topic about Apache County. I always heard about it. I mean, growing up on the res, you hear things, but you really explore or ask questions. I'm sure a lot of young listeners and even other Navajos too don't know the district or the county areas, and it's interesting that you're bringing it up. And there's not too much information floating out there of who's running or who's even last time we spoke was for the district in New Mexico, and there wasn't much information for people to access for that. Unless you're driving by and you see a sign on the side of the road, a lot of people don't question it at all. But, I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk about it and explain it to us. So it's pretty good to, you know, it's very entertaining to listen to. And I hope the guests are there so we can listen to them as well today.
Yeah, well, there's one that is calling from Arizona. I think it's probably from the I'm not sure who it is. So, caller, are you there? Can you hear me? I'm not sure what's going on with that caller, but it is from the Chinle area because it is 206. So, are you Brian? Are you familiar with the candidates at all?
You know what, Cal? You know, Joe Shirley. That's the only one I'm familiar with, and I tried to access and catch up real quickly of the other two that you that I saw on your Facebook page, but I didn't really have time to catch up on it, but. I would like to. I'm very interested to see what comes about this discussion this hour. So hopefully they'll come in and introduce themselves so I get to know them a little bit better today.
Yeah. Well, I am going to bring the caller on, and while we're waiting for Paul Guy Jr. and Dr. Joe Shirley Jr., I've invited Mr. Edison Winika from the Navajo Nation Election Administration. He's the executive director over there, and we have a lot of the elections going on all the way across the board. And one of the interesting things about it is that I have learned, or actually learned, that there's quite a bit of seats, even for the chapter presidents, that were there was nobody running. So is constantly changing. I think they're probably going to change a little bit of rules here and there, but we'll get some updates from Mr. Edison Winnie. Kayate Shananta.
Yate.
Yeah. So, yeah, catch us up on what's going on with your office up there.
Well, we're just in the process of getting ready for the primary election, which is going to be taking place on August the 30th. And we have candidates running for chapter president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and then also there's chapters that have gone to what we call they have done their own ordinances. So they have established their own government at a local level. And then also we have phone board members, grazing committee members, school board members, land board members, election board, and then Kenyatta Township commissioners. We had over 700 positions that were available, and we filled most of them. Most of the positions have been applied for, but we still have 104 positions that's not applied for. So those positions are open again, and they'll remain open until September the 9th. But those positions that they're now applying for will not be put on the ballot until the general election. So that's what we're doing right now. And
can you give us an example of like what you mean by right now? The main focus is at the chapter level. We have the chapter president, the vice president, the secretary treasurer, the grazing committee, grazing chairperson,
yes,
and school boards. Those are the...
Yes.
Yeah. So while we... well, there are some vacancies, and so the timeline, the election is going to happen on August the 30th for the primary. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then some of those vacancies, you're going to allow them to be filled after the primaries.
Yes.
Okay.
So those are open right now for the 104 positions. We don't have time to put them on the primary election, so we're gonna wait until the general election. But we're trying to fill those positions before the elections are over. In previous years, sometimes we have maybe 40, 50 positions that are still available, and we have to fill them by special elections after the general election is over with. And we don't want to go through that same process. So we're trying to fill them before the general election is done with.
Yeah, so for all those areas, how would people find out about these vacancies?
Well, we had it in the paper, the Independent, and then also the Navajo Times. And then we have it on the website. And then also we have submitted posters to all the chapters and let them know which positions are still available. And then they've been calling into our office by a toll-free number, 1-800-775-8683. And then we let them know which positions are still available.
Okay. So, you know, you've kind of mentioned earlier that the election that this does happen where there's vacancies. I mean, is this typical or is this kind of like, it seems to me like there's a large number that positions that are just not – there's no candidates available. Is that a unique situation or is this typical?
No, it used to be unique about 20 years ago. Prior to that, the positions used to get filled right away. But since about 20 years to the present, we've been having problems filling the positions. And I've asked quite a few people, you know, why that is. And one of their main response is that the people in general are not very friendly anymore, meaning that they're very direct with their leaders. And a lot of criticism and not as far as in Navajo, do chondo da tida da zlit ne judan, and I think it's true, you know, that I think the reason why they're like that is a lot of people are very disenchanted with their government, and they want change in the government, and they think the leaders that they elect should be doing that, but in their experience, they're not making those changes for the better, and that's the reason why sometimes they're very critical with their leaders, and that's the reason why they're saying that it's not good to be in these positions. You really get the blame, get the criticism, and they're hesitant to file for those positions anymore. And I think that might change, you know, with the new generation. They might bring in different ideas. There's starting to be a lot more young people running for these positions. But still, presently, we're still having problems filling those positions.
Yeah, you would think that that if somebody has an issue with the governmental process, that, you know, this is their opportune time during these elections for them to engage themselves, to engage their new ideas, and maybe they are going to be the catalyst to making the changes rather than just sitting on the sideline. You know, it's kind of a wonder. So how are you going about trying to engage some of these people?
Well, it's pretty hard to do that. We were constantly advertising the position. And we rely a lot on the leadership at the local level, letting them know when they have their planning meetings, their chapter meetings, to let the people know which positions are still available. And so, and I know it's pretty hard to get the people to come in and fill those positions. And I think that's the reason why the Navajo Nation Council just passed the resolution to have a referendum election to go to a new system to consolidate the chapters, to regionalize the chapters. So, and right now, if the president doesn't veto it, that's going to be on the ballot in November to regionalize the chapters into four regions. So I think that's the reason why people are starting to realize that the way the local government is working right now is not very effective anymore. So they want to go to a new system, and that's the reason why the council passed that resolution to put it on a referendum, to put it on the ballot in November, to have the people decide if they want to regionalize the chapters into four regions.
Yeah, that's a real interesting topic, too, the regionalization. So, you know, like within the well, I guess, you know, one thing that's very, very interesting is that in a lot of cases, like a lot of organizations or different governmental entities off the reservation, you know, the bylaws basically state that a meeting, when a special meeting or just a meeting, a regular meeting is called, the meeting can run with the, in a lot of cases, like whatever the board membership is, including the president and the vice and secretary, treasurer, you know, the meeting can go on, but one thing that I found very interesting is the Navajo Nation government, where you have the chapter meetings, but the presidency, the chapter president, vice president, and they can all be president or present at the meeting, but the meeting does not become official until the audience is who actually makes a quorum. And that's where a lot of the issues have started. Do you think that there's, you know, rather than changing the entire process at the, you know, consolidating chapters or regionalizing the Navajo Nation government, wouldn't it be better just to change the bylaws and allow the presidency, the chapter officials, to conduct a meeting, possibly with a with all of the maybe it might be a board, a chapter board that are assigned, rather than relying on the audience? Because I don't think a lot of people realize that that's how the chapter meeting runs. What do you think about that?
Well, right now, that's what the chapter, they have an option to do that. They have what they call going to an alternative form of government. The chapter can go to a commissioner type of a government where they can do an ordinance. And they're going more towards the way the county take care of their government as far as the function of the leadership at the county. And so what they're doing right now, there's about, I think, 12 chapters now that went to what they call AFOL. And what that is that exactly what you're talking about. The people at the local chapters vote by referendum to pass the ordinance where they elect five commissioners. And the five commissioners are the governing body of the local government. They don't have to have a quorum to conduct business. It's just like exactly what you were talking about as far as Apache County. They have three supervisors, and they're the decision-making body at the county. So the five commissioners that they elect at the chapters are the governing body, the decision-making body of the chapter. It no longer goes to the quorum of the chapter. Right now, what they have to do to conduct business is have 25 registered voters or more. They have to have 25 registered voters to establish a quorum. And that 25 registered voters are the governing body and the chapter official. They don't really have any authority. They just facilitate the meeting. And it's the decisions that's made by the quorum of the chapter that makes all the decisions. So, and they've been having a lot of problems with establishing the quorum. So a lot of chapters have passed resolutions to do a referendum vote to reduce the quorum requirement from 25 to 15. And a lot of chapters have done that. I think we have over 40 chapters that have reduced their quorum requirement. So, and that's exactly the reason why there's problems as far as conducting business at the local level. And I think that's the reason why there's a move to go to a new system, and that's the regionalizing the chapters into 24 regions. So, but we try working with the chapters to see if we can exactly what you were saying to improve it. But it's been a real struggle.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is this, is that, you know, in all chapters or any government, you know, or business, I mean, you know, the chapters, if you look at it, you know, it's essence, in essence, compared to like a business. You gotta you got to do business in order to have a functional government. You know, you've got to have a meeting. You got to be able to have a business, which is your agenda. And after that, then you go out and you put that plan of action to work. And but it won't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't pass anything until there is a quorum. When the official meeting, that's the only time that things can move. If you don't have a quorum, the chapter just, you know, it there's no business. There's nothing approved. There's it's a real unfortunate situation. And I don't know. In my opinion, that's a real crisis. But then again, I don't know if we're consolidating chapters and going to this regionalizing system. I don't know if that's going to improve each of the locations. You know, like for instance, like I'm looking at my chapter. You know, how do you think that, you know, like my community, if it's consolidated, depending on which part of the region that they become part of, things that are, let's say, if Shiprock is part of my region, I'm in Sanasi, that's about 30 minutes away, and for me to travel from here to there, and but somebody's already making decisions, people from certain communities who are there, we're going to be running into the same problem, whether or not it's going to be you know, having a full quorum or not having a full quorum, or rather we have a commission. So I think the thing that just makes sense to me is that keeping the chapter government in place and instituting this commissioner style that you are talking about, because I don't, you know, like I said, do you think that a lot, once, if it gets regionalized, I don't know how they've broke it up, but I haven't seen the map yet. But, you know, I'm sure the area is going to get bigger. Do you think that one area is going to be going to the centralized area? Do you think that there's going to be more participation or less? What do you think?
Well, it depends. I think just like any chapter, there's chapters that have they're very good at establishing a quorum and taking care of business. But majority of the chapters are really having problems with them. So the thing that I look at is we have 129,000 registered voters on the Navajo Nation, and only registered voters can participate in the government. And what I mean by that is you have to be a registered voter to go to chapter meetings. You don't have to, but in order for you to participate in the meeting, to make motions and to vote on issues, you have to be a registered voter. And we have 129,000 registered voters, and only 5% of that goes to the chapter meeting, Navajo nationwide. So... And when you think about that, you know, there's only a very small percentage at the local level that make the decision for the population in those chapters. And I think that's where people are really concerned about. And the next issue I don't know, you know what they're saying is it only benefits a few people, the way the governmental structure is set up at the local level. And I think that's a real concern. And looking at it overall, with 129,000 and only 5% participating, you know, it's really, you know, what do we do about that? And I think that's one of the main reasons why they're talking about going into regions, putting chapters into regions. So they think that that way, as far as allocation of funding and also services and all that will be more equal among the chapters. And then I think as far as participation from the chapters, it is going to be as far as asking for services, where there were only one chapter asking for services, there's going now, by regionalizing the chapters, from 5 or 6 chapters that's going to be pursuing improvements in their region, instead of just one chapter going after certain improvements in their community, like for water lines, power lines, or whatever is needed in that particular region. So I don't know. I guess on November 8th, that's going to be left up to the people. That will be their decision. But between now and then, I think the education will be and the objective decision on what will be best for the Navajo Nation as far as the local government is concerned.
Yeah. So are you saying that there's a possibility that this regionalization referendum might be on the ballot this November?
Yes. It's been passed by the council. So it's approved by the council, but now it's going to go to the president's office. And I don't know if he's going to sign it. If he signs it, then without a doubt, it's going to be on the ballot on November 8th.
That's interesting. Well, Mr. Wanika, thank you so much for joining us. And if you wouldn't mind, in closing, would you like to kind of give us the schedule from now till November?
Okay. Well, right now, the voter registration is closed. It closed on July the 31st, and it's going to remain closed until after the primary election, 10 days after the primary election, it's going to reopen, and that's going to be on October the 9th. So, September the 9th. But absentee voting is now open, and it's going to remain open until those that are voting on the Navajo Nation at the 5 agencies, at the sub-offices of the election administration, it's going to remain open until August the 26th. It closes the Friday before the primary election. And then the general election is set for November 8th. And for the November election, the voter registration closes on October the 9th, and absentee voting opens on October 9th also. And then absentee applications, as far as those of our people that are in urban areas or those that are in the military, can apply for those absentee ballots now for the November election if they want to. And when we get the ballots for the general election, we can send them out to them so that they can exercise their right to vote. But for any questions relating to this information, make sure to call 1-800-775-8682. Yeah, Kyle.
Oh, thank you very much. I said, I guess the last thing that I would like to say is, all the listeners, as you heard it from Mr. Wanika, that we need participation in our government. If you really want to make a change, you got to participate. Either get registered as a voter, and the opportunity is there. There's a lot of vacancies here and there. There's ways to make some changes. You can't just stick your head in the ground and think that there's going to be changes made. And I appreciate you guys doing that so for our people. Yeah, Mr. Wanika.
Oh, in the dog, yeah.
Okay, so we will move on to our next segment, and I am waiting for some of the candidates to call in. And I got assurance that, yes, we'll call in, but I haven't heard from anybody. So, Brian, I think that, you know, do you know any background of some of the candidates in the Apache County Board of Supervisors?
No, I haven't got to look them up lately. I just fought traffic. But I like the interview. I got cut off there for a minute. I had to call back. Please, if any of these candidates, please call in tonight so we can hear you. What our last guest, he did describe, which was, I thought was very interesting, how a lot of people, they do care about the communities. They want change in the Navajo government. And when it came to pass that these people, they it sounded like everyone wanted to be their own manager. So you get a lot of managers together, and they can't really agree on a plan, and they think their plan is the best, and things just kind of just fall apart like that. And hopefully, he said that a lot of the new generations, they like to, you know, come out and speak their mind. And I think that's something probably interesting as well, too, is that the new generation, there's a lot of teamwork involved and working with each other, more connections. But, yeah, that's an interesting thing that he brought up earlier. What do you think about that, Cal?
Yeah, Brian. So I'm listening. So what's your observation as far as that goes?
I mean, he understands how people in the community work, and it was just, I mean, I thought it was interesting, his idea about.
The very interesting, the wonders of the internet. It looks like he got dropped also. Cool. So, yeah, we've got chapter, from what I understand, as far as the Navajo Nation government is concerned, we have, I wanted to get a list from the elections office and read each of the chapters, who's running and where the vacancies are. But I understand that the only two areas have turned in their most current list. And the other one's not going to be updated until Thursday. So, you know, you might want to get on to the Navajo Nation Election Office website and download the most current list. And I think that, you know, that would be really, you know, it's really disappointing to me to learn that. Just, I can't believe that we're not having full participation. And now this thing about the quorum at chapter levels, you know, that's a big issue. You know, how do you get people to come to their chapters? How do you get people to engage? Is it the fault of the leaders? Is it the fault of what's happened in the past? Wouldn't you think that if you're disgruntled about what your past leaders have done, you know, if you have better ideas, wouldn't you think that here's an opportune time to engage? Wouldn't you think?
You know what? There has to be some kind of public relations there. I mean, each time I go by my chapter house, it's a ghost town. It's a ghost town. A lot of people aren't too interested. Growing up, I do remember it. Like, hey, I grew up between two chapter houses, the Shanta chapter house and the Anna chapter house in near Montezuma Creek, Utah. the Shonto Chapter House, it was great. They had a really great public relations. I remember going there and talking, knowing everyone that worked at the Chapter House as Shonto. They really worked well with the public, and they tried their best to work, you know, with the older folks and the new folks, the new generation as well. And then you had Anuth, which I'm sure they had a great system, but I don't recall anything that kind of connected with the public. In a way, it was kind of difficult dealing with the Chapter House there growing up than Shonto. So there's something where there has to be a public relations. Some of the Chapter House nowadays, they have what do you call it? Social media. And that's great. We get a few announcements. We get a few job postings. But it rarely comes up. I think the active one I've seen so far was Kaibito. And Kaibito really works well with their social media. You find out a lot more about certain activities around Kaibito and also job postings, too. I mean, I always go on there and see what's going on. And, I mean, that's great. But I think there's, in a way, there's some kind of public relations that's missing from the Chapter House. And to get people more involved there, it could be anything between just like, you know, job resume help or anything that kind of does help. And in a way, I would love to be a participant and register to vote, but the requirements of what the Chapter House wants me to do is to live back at home, back on the res. I mean, I would love to, but I wouldn't get the same opportunities that I have out here on the reservation if I do move back. So it's kind of like I hear it calling. I would like to go back, participate, probably work in the political field, but you know what? I get more opportunities out here. There's even more opportunities for my kids out here off the reservation. So it's kind of a I don't know. There's somehow living off the reservation and you try to go back and help, they kind of just give you kind of like a cold shoulder. So it's something.
Well, you know, the thing is that no matter what the situation is, that, you know, we just need to engage one way or another. You know, and that's one of the reasons why that I ran for the Navajo Nation president was that, hey, you know what, you know, for people who are living off the Navajo Nation, we still care about the Navajo Nation. And, you know, we want to engage. We feel like we've got something new to offer. And I think that's the attitude that I think most people should take. You know, if there is a new generation, if there is a new ideology, if there is new stuff, then I think that people ought to share those new ideas. You know, even though I live up here in Salt Lake City, you know what? I can still vote. I'm still registered. I can still register. I can still cast a vote. And as long as I am registered, I have the right to be able to engage in my politics, no matter where I'm at. You know, through just like Mr. Winnicott just said earlier, there is a absentee vote, and you can register from afar out there. I don't think it necessarily means that you have to be on the Navajo Nation to engage. You know, a real good example about what you're talking about, social media, like in this case, is that I've got my Navajo the politics on the Navajo Nation. I mean, that has gone. You know, people view that, and it's amazing what some of the discussion that takes place about, you know, the last council, what was said on my page occasionally made it on the floor at the Navajo Nation Council. And that was very interesting. So I know that, people who live off the Navajo Nation, we can all engage. And I think that's a very unique situation, but I don't think, but here's the thing that always strikes me very interesting, and that is that you've got people who say, like, I have no enthusiasm to engage. But they are the biggest complainers on social media. They are the biggest critics of the people who are trying to make a difference. Our system perfect? No. No system is perfect anywhere. But that doesn't mean that just because that there is an imperfect, that's the wonders about this democracy that's even on the Navajo Nation, is that it gives all citizens an opportunity to be able to make that change so you can get elected. You stand up there in front of people and sell your ideas. This is what I'm going to do. But just to sit on the sideline and say, you know what, I really don't care. Well, by that not caring is really why that's the result. I mean, you're in the status that you're in is because you have decided not to engage. And that's one of the things I always ask people, is that if you want to make a change and you're critical about the Navajo Nation, then do something about it. A lot of our current leaders, they might not be perfect at what they do, but at least they tried, or they are trying, and that's where we all can work with them. And that's why I always post on my Facebook and ask people, will you, can you please call the Navajo, your council delegate, and engage in a conversation, whether they should vote or not vote on such legislation. And so, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. And so, you know, so Brian, you can still probably, there's no limit or there's no requirement about living on the Navajo Nation. For you to engage in your governmental process, you can probably run for your chapter presidency next go around if there's a vacancy.
You know what? You're right. I'm going to give it a try. See, you learn being Navajo, living away from the res, you learn something every day. So I'm going to do what you're doing. Just go for it. See what happens.
Yeah, there you go. So I think that. You know, unless you have anything else to add, Brian, any other subject that you'd like to talk about? I am really kind of disappointed that a lot of the candidates that said, yes, I'll call in, are not calling in. So I guess if they do call in, we'll have to just let them know. Maybe, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you know what a good thing is, too, is that I noticed that, you know, we have the Olympics going on down in Rio, and there's actually, I think it's a Navajo girl that's down there, so we do have Navajo down in Brazil right now, waving the Navajo flag, which I think is great, during events, live broadcasts on TV, and also posting the Navajo flag around monuments around Brazil. So, I mean, that's great that now people from the reservation are, you know, exploring parts of the world. I think that's wonderful. And if people haven't seen that, you know, if you can spot it on the TV, if you're watching the Olympics, you can see a Navajo flag waving in the background. I mean, that's great. That's wonderful that, you know, we made it that
right.
far.
Who is she?
Well, I don't think she's, you know, not a, I think she's just, you know what, that's a good question. She's on Facebook, you know, I'll forward you a picture, and I didn't really look into it. I just saw her photos, and a lot of people started talking about it, that, yeah, she's on there. A lot of people took snapshots of the TV, saying, like, wait a minute, that's the Navajo flag in the background. So that's really great. That's,
I gotta watch for that now, because I have been looking at the Olympics. That'd be interesting. Thanks for sharing that. I didn't even know that. That's one of those what do they call it, where people are taking pictures and they sneak in. You know, it's kind of like one of those photographs like that. So, and that's really cool. Well, yeah. Anyway, so let's stay in touch. And tonight we had the Apache County supervisors that I was hoping to hear from, but none of them called in. And so that's just too bad. And but I do appreciate Edison Winika calling in and giving us the update, and appreciate you calling in and all your listeners who are online but not willing to talk. So we'll just leave it at that. So
yes, thank you. Right, thank you for giving me a call. And, you know, it was a last minute thing. You asked me to be on the show. I didn't really catch up much about the Apache County, but next time we'll plan this a little bit better. We'll be a little bit more prepared. But if there's listeners out there, please don't be afraid to call in. You probably know a lot more than I do. I'm still learning the process as well, too, even though I grew up on the res. There's still time to learn about, you know, our government and how it functions. A lot of young people don't know it, but, you know, it's a learning process. All right, Don. Next time we'll talk, we'll be sometime in the future, Cal, okay?
Yeah, you'll be on air again, so probably be ready for tomorrow night, and another subject will come up, so
okay.
We'll go from there. So, again, yeah, thank you. That was Brian. So, so ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know what happened with some of the candidates, you know, but if they say that they're going to call in, the one that specifically said that he is unable to is D.L. Sells because of a family situation, which is totally understandable. And our condolences go out to his family and Ishi Ajid Neb Chin Dahazdo Benan Nishi Dahullo. So, you know, if opportunity was available for him again, I'm sure that he'll probably join us. But, Paul Guy Jr., I was in touch with him on a daily basis, trying to get the show set up, as well as I was trying to been trying to get in touch with Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. And so we'll give it another shot another time. And, you know, this isn't the only show. So, yeah, I'm on it.